I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
For about 10 years now, I've been a ranger in the Okeechobee Swamp Park. It's the largest blackwater swamp in the entire United States, and takes up a good chunk of southeast Georgia. The place is massive, home to all kinds of wildlife, from foxes to alligators to the occasional bear. Over the years, I have found that it's not only the wildlife that inhabits these swamps, though. There's something else out here, not human, of course. But the swamp hides its fair share of secrets from the world beyond its waters. One of my earliest memories was during my first year as a junior ranger. I was young, maybe 25 or so when I got the job, and they were drip-feeding me new duties as the days went by. Eventually, I got to the point where I could do patrols myself if there was anything that needed to be checked on, and they finally gave me the keys to the fanboats we would use to get into the deeper parts. And that is what gave me my first scare. It was getting dark out, and some folks came into the station, telling us that they had been hiking and lost one of their buddies. Not too uncommon, considering if you take a wrong turn, there's nothing but water and dense trees to find your way back. And unless you've got a good keen eye, you're not going to even notice the difference. Now the sun was going down, and they say they hadn't seen him in a few hours, despite calling out for him the entire way back. So, it fell on me to go out there and search while Lena, my partner on duty, was the one to take the report. I grabbed the big-ass flashlight we use for night searches, the boat keys, and headed out the door to see what I could find. They said that they had come from the western part of the swamp, a more densely wooded region prone to a lot of flooding. Not a great thing right now, as the clouds were coming down for a thunderstorm yet again. Moonlight was in and out, sliding behind clouds and plunging me into darkness every few minutes before re-emerging again for brief illumination whenever it felt like it. The trees above were casting eerie shadows, and every movement from around me made me jump as the night grew darker. Mosquitoes were the worst damn thing out here. Plenty of the bastards were swarming me, almost blocking the floodlight as they swirled around in the beam. It was hard enough seeing anything through the shadows of the trees out here, but seeing millions of tiny bugs making shadows the size of dogs in the distance? That does some weird shit to your brain. The heat didn't help much either, making my clothing stick to my sweaty skin. I was out there for maybe 2 hours, moon high overhead, and the sun long gone now, when the first shower finally came. Rain started falling slow at first, just a drop here and there, as thunder gave ominous rumbles in the background. An occasional flash of lightning would overtake my surroundings, completely overpowering the beam of my flashlight and making the entire swamp around me visible. That was when I first started to notice them. It looked like people at first, hiding behind trees, obscured in shadows and branches to keep from being seen. Some were taller than others, some a bright, sun-bleached white, while others appeared covered in mold and dirt. The first one I barely caught in the light as it ducked behind a tree, long white fingers on one hand being the only thing I saw before they slipped back into the darkness behind it. I saw another one 10 minutes later, though this one was much more clear. It was in the middle of the trees, partially submerged in some of the water and muck below. From the waist up, there was a mostly decaying body, stripped by the bugs and weathered down to the bone already, ribs holding rotten ribbons of flesh on them. It disappeared as quickly as my light hit it, one rotting eye still staring at me from its skull as it submerged under the water, leaving me shaking in fear. Despite trying to get a message back to Lena, I didn't have any signal going through on my walkie. I was finally around the space where they said they had lost their friend, and I started yelling for him, despite how scared shitless I really was. Everything I had seen up until that point, I was just able to rationalize, I guess. It was my first time out in the swamp on my own, especially this late at night, and the weather wasn't helping my nerves. Ahead of me, the trees opened up into a clearing. Nothing but a small pond unmarred by roots or trunks sticking through. The rain stopped suddenly, moon appearing from behind the clouds now and shining down on the dark black water below, reflecting its light. There, standing in the middle of the clearing with hands stretched high into the sky, as if pleading for the moon to come down and meet it, was a body. Hell, a body was probably putting it mildly, as this thing was stripped of all its flesh, empty sockets where the eyes should have been as it stared up into the moon above. From where I was in the boat, I could see that it was dressed in a long, flowing white gown. It was almost like a wedding dress. I couldn't tell if it was looking longing, reverence, or both as it reached further towards the moon. It was standing atop the water's surface as if it was a smooth glass floor, not even making ripples across the water as it was glowing in the moonlight beneath her. As I was watching, more skeletons and decaying bodies emerged from the water, gliding upward to surround the skeletal bride as she continued reaching for the moon above. They grabbed her, dragging her back down below the surface of the water, as if the moon was once more hidden by the clouds above. I tried shining my floodlight over to see if there was anything there still, but the clearing was completely empty. Just shadows, dancing off the water's surface again. I turned tail and ran that night. We ended up finding the guy that was missing the next day. Somehow wandered right over to one of the nearby highways, though it was a hell of a walk for him to get there. Lena didn't believe me when I told her about the skeletons and decaying bodies in the water, simply looking at me like I was absolutely insane. A year or so later, we were the unlucky sight of a murder. Or at least, it was initially called a murder. Some poor girl's body was found floating in one of the more touristic areas, totally drained of every damn drop of blood. All they were able to find was one puncture wound in between her neck and shoulder. That wasn't from any animal known to be in the park, so Georgia Bureau of Investigations came in to look around. I got paired up to lead a guy named Scully around the swamps, investigating to see if we could find any sign of where she was killed or a possible weapon even. Good guy. We ended up getting to be friends in a couple of weeks that we were going around the whole length of the Okeechobee. One thing we did agree on, The amount of destruction being done to the environment out here needed to stop. There was a mining operation about to start nearby, extracting lithium through strip mines just right outside the dammed swamp borders. That was just the latest issue too, because a few of the major train yards had been dumping chemicals for the last few decades that are just now coming to light. God knows it adds to the cancer clusters that have been popping up in the youth around here, taking kids way too damn young. What we found one night though, almost a week after beginning our investigation, made us both see that the problems were only going to get worse. Another body had turned up a day earlier, causing a whole other fuss as GBI was still trying to get a handle on the situation. This was a big guy too. They matched him up with a
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in, the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/trygreenlight. That's greenlight.com/trygreenlight.
Trucker that had gone missing a couple of weeks ago. Big Rig found empty and abandoned on the side of the highway nearby. His body was pretty messed up, decay settling in. But he had a similar wound with the same telltale sign. His body was absolutely drained of blood. Scully and I spent the next day tracking deep in the swamp, trying to figure out where it had come from based off the faint currents through the water. After about 7 hours of tracking from sunup, we found something. A shallow clearing in the middle of the northeast quadrant, tons of trees clustered around it that kept it mostly closed off, but a small gap between that became a floodgate essentially when it rained. We theorized that that was what was letting the bodies loose, allowing them to drift over to the more populated areas of the swamp where they would be found. Our theory was somewhat backed up almost immediately, and we definitely found the origin point of the dead people. Inside this clearing, bodies were piled up in various states of decay. Every single one was drained of blood, the newest corpse probably being only a few days old at most. Alabaster white skin was growing against the dark waters, making me feel nauseated in the humid afternoon. The whole area smelt of death, with the bodies adding on to the decay from rotting trees and vegetation. It was worse than the time I found a rotting bear near the park entrance. Poor bastard almost torn in half by a car that hit him. They all had the same puncture wound, though it was on different sides for some of the bodies. Probably just whatever the killer was able to get a good night angle in. Scully pulled out the radio to make a call back to the station, letting them know what we had found. Unfortunately, they said it was going to be a bit before more people could come out thanks to the emergency in town. The downside of living in the rural South is that there are only so many resources spread thin over a huge area. We would just have to set up and wait for someone to come out here. But in the meantime, we had our own plan. In the off chance the killer returned, we parked our boat a little ways downstream, anchoring it to a nearby tree out of sight. Then we got out, waders and boots on to keep from getting totally soaked as we made our way back towards the small clearing. The sun was getting low, and we knew that we had to take a position soon to make sure nothing took us by surprise. There was a little luck on our side, though, because one of the old ranger outposts was nearby, a small, rotting cabin built on a rickety platform. We crammed ourselves in, getting ready for what was going to be a long night. Maybe 2 hours passed with nothing. I think I ended up falling asleep on one of the rusty folding chairs left in the outpost. The place was bare, an old landlined phone hanging on the wall, a small desk in the corner, and one dingy light bulb hanging from the ceiling. Damn thing didn't even work, and they probably wasn't any power coming here anyways. Scully got out and looked around for a bit while I was snoozing inside, and when he woke me up, he showed me the reason we didn't have power. The small post-stringing wire along for electricity was ripped out of the ground, nothing but a frayed wire still hanging loose above the water. No doubt that was a major safety hazard, but it's not like anyone ever came out this far. We started checking the further reaches of the swamp a lot more often after this situation, hoping to avoid another pile of bodies coming up like it did. The sun was gone by the time we realized our serial killer was much, much worse than some awful human. Scully had a fancy pair of night binoculars, and we were trading off back and forth watching the spot to see if anyone was coming. Hell, we were scanning the entire damn area, desperately trying to see anyone coming up before they actually got too close. That way we could get a better look. Our worst fear was that they would come up to their dumping spot with another body to get rid of, probably drained of blood again. Of course, that was a confirmed reality just a few minutes after midnight. Nobody had shown up here still, with the two of us debating throwing down a GPS marker and heading back to the main station. I was on watch, scanning the area from left to right when suddenly, there was a figure standing in the clearing. Damn thing was huge, standing probably 9 feet tall at least. It was holding another body, likely drained as well because it let flung it next to a tree moments after I caught sight, making it crumble to the water below. I grabbed Scully, pointing in the direction of the clearing and handing him the binoculars to get a look. He gasps, wears something I'll never forget, because the thing turned right towards us there. This giant bastard was like Mothman's effed up southern cousin. Bristles of stiff spines all along its arms and legs, with at least 6 arms sprouting down its body. 2 ended in sharp points, which we initially thought was what it used to kill its victims. The others had human-like hands, though the fingers were deadly sharp at the tips. When it looked to the body where it had just thrown aside, something unfurling from its face. The huge red eyes were glowing in the moonlight. Hexic patterns reflected everything around it. As the mouth stretched, I realized it was a sharp, needle-like beak that it had punctured the fresh body with. I couldn't tell what it was doing, but the body started to shiver, something squirming through the still skin as it made itself inward. That was all me and Scully needed to see, because we had no idea what the hell this thing was, other than an abomination against God. The situation with a believed murderer meant we got clearance to carry firearms, and both of us drew ours now. Scully had a rifle, while I just had a standard issue pistol. We gave ourselves a moment to prepare, grabbing a couple of old flares from within the desk in case they may come in handy and moved out. We made it to the edge of the clearing, still hidden from this damned thing and whatever it was doing. As Scully poked his barrel around the corner, waiting for the right moment, the damned thing turned and locked its giant red eyes within mine. It wasn't human, for sure, and the only thing behind those eyes was the desire to feed, breed, and eat some more. This was the stereotypical southern pest, made into one of my greatest frickin' nightmares. As soon as it looked at us, Scully fired a shot, hitting it in the arm. The damn thing took off flying, both of us firing shots up after it. I think one of our shots found the right mark, because it shot through one of the wings, causing it to lose lift and start falling back down. I fired again, this time hitting it in the lower jaw, taking out the massive needle of a mouth. One more. One more shot and we could take this thing out. My clip was empty, and when I went to reload, the mosquito man rushed at us, making me fumble with the new clip into the dark water. The creature hit Scully, sending him flying backwards before splashing down into the muck behind me. I started to run back towards the outpost, picking Scully up as I went. He had lost his gun when he was thrown, meaning we were shit out of luck when it came to defenses. As we hauled ourselves up into the outpost platform, I uncapped one of the flares, throwing it at the lumbering creature now waiting towards us. It didn't handle the deep water well, despite the great height advantage that it had, and was struggling to pull its feet from the muck below. As we got inside, Scully slammed the door behind us, pulling the deadbolt which snapped from rust. It was only a moment before a loud thump shook the entire outpost, the creature landing on the platform outside. There was nothing we could do but press ourselves to the back wall, hoping that it would lose interest and leave.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal, $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Now would have been an awesome time for some of the others to show up like they were supposed to do hours ago, but no such luck there. One of the sharp arms busted through the thin wooden door, tearing a piece of it as it pulled back. The thing was coming in now, forcing itself through the small doorway while tearing the wood panels out from the door and wall. There was a little chance for us to get away, but we had to try at least. I opened up the shutter from the back window, exposing a dingy pane of glass roughly half my size. I pulled my arm back, smashing it with my elbow to try to get out, pulling Scully out with me as the creature got closer in the outpost. Uncapping the last flare, I threw it into the window behind me, letting the bright flare ignite the old, rotting wood inside. We clambered back, trying to make our way from behind the outpost back to the boat before the thing got out. The scream that damn thing let out is something I will never forget, sounding like dozens of voices crying all out at once as the flames licked at its skin. I saw the window burst outward, wall around it being blasted out by the flames reaching closer to us. The creature fell out, half of its body on fire and sizzling as it fell from the platform and hit the water below. We had to get out, water splashing up through my waders at this point and chilling me with the humid air. I could see blue sparks coming a few feet away in the darkness, the live wire on the post that Scully had pointed out earlier. The idea was a risky one, but if it meant I could at least take the bastard out with me, I'd try it. It was gurgling up from the water now, clumsily sloshing its way towards us in the dark water. Nothing was going to stop this bastard, but I made my way as quickly as I could over to the post. My waders were made of rubber, so I hoped that this half-baked scheme would work. As the thing got closer, I reached out, grabbing onto it and using its own off momentum to swing it around to the other side of me. It landed right on target, face first into the live wire. I felt a brief shock as my hands let go of its body, noticing smoke rising from it as it convulsed atop the post. A couple of moments passed before the wire shorted out, creature going limp against the post as it died. The outpost was still going up in flames around us as we both lifted the body, bringing it towards the massive pyre. It became that thing's funeral when we threw it on atop, letting it burn away before it had any chance to pull some crap and come back at us. There was no sound from it. Just the crackling of flames as the outpost burned, smoke rising into the sky above. Screams started coming from the clearing, this time more high-pitched than the last, but all in a terrible discordance that sounded like the choir from hell. We covered our ears, looking back to the clearing as the moonlight illuminated three smaller bodies, each one maybe 3 or 4 feet tall. One of them took to the air, massive needle mouth extending under the glowing red eyes. This frickin' thing was resting its eggs in the dead bodies, reproducing. I went back to the boat, grabbing the flare gun and a can of gasoline while Scully made his way to the small ones. They didn't put up much of a fight, thankfully, and he was able to crush them relatively easily underfoot. We started moving every body we found, piling them in the driest place we could before dousing them in gasoline. Then they were soaked. We went back to the boat, carefully aiming the flare gun at the pile through the clearing before pulling the trigger. Every body in that pile went up that night. I still don't know who all of them were, and it's likely their poor families may never get closure. But after seeing what that thing had nested in them, I think we did them a good service by burning the bodies. Scully and I both gave the same report, though GBI didn't seem to believe it. Every time we've talked about it since, we've wondered if it was just some freak of nature cryptid or a mutant abomination made by the pollution taking hold. My bet is on the pollution. Chemicals probably getting into the mosquito spawn and making, well, these bastards. We've made it a point when any bodies come up in the swamp now to watch them for a few days, making sure they don't reproduce into more of those damn things. Despite how terrifying it could be out there, there were times when the supernatural stuff could be oddly beautiful. There's a pretty common phenomenon that I'm not really sure yet if it's real or something more beyond outworld, but I've seen enough to know that it's not entirely normal. Swamp lights, small floating torches in the dark that move on their own accord through the air. Some say they're called ball lighting, others believe that it's some combination of gas and heat in the air. those of us in the ranger station have realized it's something a little more than that. There is something we would probably see every other week. Just faint glows in the distance from our outpost, or even along in the trees while we were out on patrol. There is no telling where they would turn up, but we knew that if they were out there that we had some searching to do. Every time a swamp light popped up floating above the water, it was like a beacon guiding us to something. That something was, unfortunately, usually a body of someone who got lost who had wandered into the wrong area. They're not even terrifying, but just more like sad. Every time we would see one, it was a sign to get the nets and drag the water. Granted, that wasn't always the case, and we think some were just stray spirits left to wander, unable to move on with their bodies were taken from burial. I think they got lonely sometimes too, just floating out there to search for someone, something to actually acknowledge them that they were there. One night when I was out on the main station platform, I looked off into the trees to see what almost looked like a Christmas lights blinking in and out, but way larger than any of the fireflies that were out here. They sent a bad feeling down my spine, hoping that I wasn't about to stumble upon a mass grave or anything. The lights were just there though, zipping over the water and, if I'm right, chasing each other in play. We dredged the area the next day, but no bodies came up. I can only assume that they were just lost souls who finally met up with each other, finally enjoying a little company after so long searching in the dark. My last encounter was 2 years ago. Since then, I've mostly retired to life as a desk jockey, taking my leave of having to wander the muck out here. It was bright out, midday, and I was out doing some land survey work to make sure local wildlife wasn't being overtaken by some invasion flora that had been popping up. I was near one of the nicer outposts. This one had some air conditioning and a couple of amenities for anyone that needed them, and I had decided to take a break for lunch. Considering fall was coming, I decided to eat my lunch out on the platform and look out at everything. Nature here was beautiful, with every shade of green imaginable playing off the sunlight high in the sky. I think I ended up sitting there for about an hour after I finished eating, just taking in the peace of it all and watching alligators float lazily along in the water beyond. I was zoning out, looking at one of the nearby tree banks a couple of dozen meters away, when it began walking through the background where I was staring. This thing was tall, hell, even taller than that mosquito creature at around 12 feet by my estimation. It was built like a 10-ton brick shithouse too. Damn thing looked like it could lift a truck if it needed to. Dark brown fur was matted up and down its body, with small, beady eyes staring out above the elongated snout. Ferocious teeth curled up on its lips from top to bottom, saliva dripping from them as it traversed the mud across its way. I could see sharp claws that were gripping the trees as it hopped from bank to bank, leaving deeper furrows in the bark as it went. I don't know if I made a sound or if it just smelled me, but it stopped dead in its tracks and looked right at me. A howl like I had never heard before ripped through the air before it tore into the water.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Flashing towards me on the platform. I was up and inside so fast I shook the entire outpost when I slammed the door, and it shook the whole place again when it bashed up against it. I pulled the deadbolt chain to the door, hoping to whatever god that this thing wasn't going to break through the door. It kept beating at the door, terrible claws ripping at the outer side to get in. I don't know what it wanted with me, or if I was just unlucky enough to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. The beating on the door stopped suddenly, heavy footfalls walking around the outpost platform looking for another way in. I didn't have time to waste. Staying out here as long as I had taught me that sometimes it is best to defend myself first, no matter what the danger it posed to the wildlife. I ran towards the gun locker, pulling out the pump shotgun inside and loading two shells before cocking it. The monster threw itself against the opposite wall from me, desperately trying to break down to get inside. I could hear its ferocious growls constantly, like a rabid dog desperately trying to bite whoever would come near enough. It was about to pass in front of the window now, and I only knew that I had one chance to get this right or I may die in here. I raised the gun to my shoulder, taking aim square at the window and holding my breath, finger on the trigger. The creature suddenly ran from the side, slamming its massive claw against the window to break it open. As it began climbing through to get me, I fired off the first shot, catching it right on the left shoulder. I pumped the gun again, pulling it back up to my throbbing shoulder. The kickback on this thing was more than what I was used to, and I was going to be sore for the next damn week afterwards. It still tried coming in at me again, but I fired off the second shell, quickly ejecting it and pulling more out to reload. The shot peppered the thing right in the face, blowing off some of the skin around its skull. Despite all that, eyes now stared at me unable to close and half of its mouth fixed in a wicked snarl, tears of flesh hanging from the side. It turned tail and ran off. Explaining the broken window and huge gashes on the door was surprisingly easy. We all had an understanding at this point that weird shit happens out here, and sometimes the place just needed some repairs when wildlife got ippity or bad weather happened. Most of the official expense reports mentioned bad weather, but on occasion we would have fun with them, making up random bullcrap to send off to the state auditors. It's not like they were going to come out here and check it out for themselves. I haven't seen that son of a bitch since, thank God. I have heard some of the younger rangers tell tales of howling late at night and seeing a massive creature walking through the trees, just beyond the shadows of what they could see. Shining a light on it only causes bright eyes to reflect back when they see it, and that's usually all it takes for them to turn tail and run. I still work here, but like I said, I stick to the desk jobs now. The younger folk will go out and deal with all this craziness that Okeechobee has to offer. I'll stay right here, in the air conditioning.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.